to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country and baking country. And that song talks about a parking lot. I was in a parking lot not long ago. It's the Healdsburg Farmers Market, and I got to be a judge at the third annual Healdsburg Farmers Market Bake Off. Melissa, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I slightly change the name every year.
Listen, I think that's a really good idea. I think that's a great idea. And it was in a parking lot. It was on a Saturday morning at the beginning of the farmer's market when I'm usually still asleep. No, I'm kidding. I'm on my way to the farmer's market. And it was really wonderful. What's it all about, Melissa? Why did you do it and what is it?
Yeah, I think it's still, we're really coming out of this experimental phase, but I did it because, you know, as we have quail and as we have troubadour, so many people have come up to us with their questions, and I can, like, in-depth questions, so I can tell this is not just like I'm following a recipe. I'm like really thinking my way through this. And so I wanted to give everybody in the community a platform to really showcase what they're doing, plus, you know, commentary from the professionals so that they're able to really hear how they could improve whatever they're making.
And it's really kind of wonderful. There was a group that Marion Cunningham, the late Marion Cunningham, started called the Baker's Dozen. And that's what they would do. They would get together once a month and they would talk about how to fix that stuff that didn't work the last time. And some of them were professional and some of them were just people who loved to bake. And boy, these people, wow, that stuff was gorgeous. And a lot of it was delicious. All of it was good. I mean, really, all of it was good. And a lot of it was, like, super duper. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Sean McKay, Melissa McKay, Sean, who were the judges? I mean, I remember me. I was there.
Well, so, judges. We had yourself.
Thank you.
We had Jeff Reed. He's our head baker. So he was kind of in charge of bread. And then we had Sarah Ellsworth. She's our pastry chef at the bakery.
Yeah.
And then we had Talia Hart. She is with the Chamber of Commerce in Healdsburg.
Right. You also had somebody from Single Thread.
Oh, yeah. My good friend Marley
yeah.
Brown.
Yeah.
We were like co-chefs together years ago now.
Nice.
We were definitely like in the trenches. So, she's a ball full of sunshine, and I respect her opinion.
So, Melissa, when you thought about this, right, what was the structure? What were you, I mean, clearly we know what you were hoping to achieve, which was to bring people together in a parking lot at a table.
I like when you describe it that way. It sounds so much more rock and roll.
I mean, it really is. It's really pretty. I would say edgy, but it wasn't edgy. It was
no.
So sweet. How would you say it has evolved over the last 3 years? Because I was happy to be involved last year, and there were, let's just, fewer entries last year. This year it exploded.
Yeah. So first year, I obviously had no idea what I was doing, and I looped the kids into the same. And obviously, you know, some parents came up to me and they're like, it's really not fair. I'm like, you are absolutely right. So the following year, then we created a kids category and I tried to break them up in different ways, you know. And what we realized is we saw a really big influx of kids doing cookies. And that makes sense to me for the age group that we blocked out. Like, they can't really do a giant crazy cake. So I just kept it to something small that they can control. Cakes and tarts was the adults category. Sourdough bread was a new one.
Yeah.
We had so many bread bakers and so many like enthusiasts that I was like, you know what, maybe we will get at least 10 plus. And honestly, I think we had like 15.
I think we had 15. And actually, we have Anderson Puckett here, who's the winner of the bread baking contest. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
I mean, are you one of those pandemic, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sourdough bread?
No, I've been baking bread for the last 30 years, so long before the pandemic.
Well, all right, so let's get this out of the way right away. Generally speaking, and I love the way, Sean, you talked about the head baker, that's the person who makes the bread, and the pastry chef, not the same person. They're different sensibilities, right? They really are. And in my experience, and I've worked with a lot of chefs in a lot of restaurants in a lot of places, they're just basically a couple of kinds of bakers, pastry chefs. One is the kind of earth mother, dad, come on, you know, give me a hug. Let me, right, the sourdough rises quietly in the corner. And the other is the mad scientist, right? It's the mad scientist. We had both of those. So, Anderson, which are you?
Probably closer to the scientist, but not very scientific. I tend to, you know, try a lot of different experiments. But a lot of it is by feel too, so probably in the middle a little bit, but closer to the scientist.
All right. Well, I had a guy who was working for us, and he was the pastry chef, and he was a very fine pastry chef. And he said, Clark, I want to bake bread. And I said, okay. It was like out of the blue. And I said, may I see your hands? And he went like this, and they were big and wide and flat and a little damp. And I said, you're going to win awards. And he opened up a bakery next door, and he went on to win awards. I mean, it was alchemy. It was, you know what I mean? His hands were made for bread. And how he had been doing those delicate pastries with that kind of focus, I have no idea. Sean, do you ever do pastries?
When we first opened Quail, I took on the Viennoiserie station, which that transferred from cooking very easily.
Yeah.
It was like a lot of like calculated movements, and you can plan ahead and right. reorganize.
Right.
And so that's, and I've actually never had a pastry chef in any of my positions in a kitchen. So I'm like pretty familiar, but then when it came to like baking,
yeah.
the Vienne was like really where I kind of dove in.
Yeah. By the way, they call it Quail. It's Quail and Condor, and it's in Healdsburg, and it's moving very slowly. If you've just joined us, we're talking to Sean and Melissa McKay, and also Anderson Puckett, who's here in the studio. We're going to be talking to some of the other award winners on the phone, but it's Quail and Condor, and as we speak, it's moving step by step, inch by inch. When does the new location open, and exactly where is it? Tell everybody.
We're looking at opening mid-November. We just did our first test bake in our new like Maserati Ooh, of an oven yeah. yesterday.
Very cool.
Exciting times.
Yeah.
And then I forgot the second question.
Where is it?
Oh, you'll never find it.
Exactly. And that's a secret.
No, it's at 44 Mill Street. It's right next to Coyote Sonoma, or right behind the Elephant in the Room.
Yeah, it's by the side of the road, but with parking.
Yes.
Yeah, right? We're moving 300 yards.
Yeah, which I think is quite wonderful. How many yards is a football field? I mean, because they always say that.
We're moving one football field.
There you go. See, that is about all I know about sports. We will retire that. All right.
Three football fields.
Okay. That's right. They're 100 yards.
300
right? Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Besides the stands. Anderson, what got you baking for 30 years ago?
Yeah, I think my wife and I are Army veterans, and we had our first Thanksgiving together, pretty humble, you know, Thanksgiving.
I'll
and
bet.
We needed some bread, and so I've always kind of been interested in and started then with no knowledge whatsoever, and still bake with pretty much zero knowledge, but have you know, learned by kicking my head against the door a few times
yeah.
and a lot of mistakes. But yeah, it really started out of necessity and a little bit of, you know, desire for that fun.
I got to tell you, you know, people who have baked for millennia started with no knowledge, right? They started with a little bit of a something from somebody, and they watched and they examined and all the rest of it. Where were you when you started baking? What town, what city, what
yeah,
state?
We were right outside of Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so, you know, had its own kind of culinary feel to it. We
oh, wow,
didn't experience
yes.
it that much, but yeah. Yeah, and obviously a different baking environment in the hot, humid South than
exactly,
here.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, still a lot of fun.
Well, Marion Cunningham, I mention her a lot because I loved her a lot, and she did a lot of good things. She used to say, we have great rogue yeasts. Isn't that a wonderful image? It's like you're out there working on your sourdough bread, the rogue yeasts are landing like little tiny drones into your bread. Right? How long do you let it rise?
Usually I go through an initial bulk ferment for 3.5 hours or so, and then I shape it and put it in the fridge for anywhere from 18 to 40 hours typically.
Got it. And do you have a sourdough starter? Do you have a mother somewhere sitting in a corner?
Yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, I've restarted over the years. It doesn't have any, you know, 100-year heritage to it. Kind of comes and goes as I come and go in baking. And I think one of the kind of unique things, I mill my own flour at home, and
wow.
which I think adds just some texture and flavor components that,
and freshness.
Yeah, really some freshness.
Where
flavors.
Do you get the where do you get it?
Where do I you get the grains from Central Milling in Paloma.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, we are so lucky here.
Yeah,
I mean, I like the idea that you do a good job marshaling nature gently using some of the world's best ingredients. Right.
That's right,
Sean. How many people who made bread really impressed you? Did you get a chance to taste any of this stuff, or were you just kind of marshaling us through the parking lot?
It was more marshaling, but I tasted most things.
And what was the range of breads that we, I mean, you probably took a look too, but what were the range of breads?
All the way from, there was a gluten-free sourdough, which is like kind of a giant undertaking of like nothing works.
Yeah.
Like, so it takes like some real skill to even get it anything resembling a loaf.
Right.
But so all the way from gluten-free to Anderson's had like all this fresh milled spelt in there and like super hearty. There's a few with like lots of like flavor inclusions as well.
Yeah.
And like, yes, all sourdough, but some of it was like very white and refined and some of it was like
really
a little more
rustic.
wild and rustic. Yeah.
I always say spelt, the ancient grain that's fun to say.
Right?
All right. Well, listen, when we get back, when we come back here, we're going to be talking to the person who won the cake award. And I have to take a particular pride in this because I got to taste all that stuff. And we did have a spit bucket, I will admit that. But I did ingest a fair amount of happiness in that. And they were gorgeous and they were delicious. And we'll be right back here, rather full, at the table. Table, and that's my favorite ukulele. It's the music I like to hear in the morning when I'm talking about cake. We're talking about cake and cookies and sourdough bread and other really delicious things. It was the third annual renamed Healdsburg Farmers Market Bake Off. Was that even close, Melissa?
I think it's that without Farmer's Market.
Okay, all right.
But
it was
hosted
by the Farmer's Market. It was really wonderful. And it was in the morning before the Farmer's Market. And what they did was they had all these wonderful entrants. And you're going to tell us, you know, where some of the money went and, you know, all the benefit of all that stuff. But and then after we judged these things and we gave out the awards, they gave out tastes to everybody at the Farmer's Market. And what was amazing to me is these tables filled with delicious sweets, award-winning sweets. People were really polite. People were really thoughtful. We went for a walk around the market and came back, and they weren't emptied. You know what I mean? It didn't. Locusts had not been visiting. And I was quite impressed by the community with all that. Well, right now on the phone is Azita Lotfi. Did I get that right, Azita?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, well, you're the big. I mean, for a lot of us, you know, cake. I mean, forgive me, Anderson, but for a lot of us, cake's the big deal. And there were the most entries, and you were the big winner. Tell us the name of your cake.
So I call it my lemon cloud cake. It is a Meyer lemon and pistachio olive oil cake with a raspberry rose jam layer and a cream cheese buttercream frosting.
All right. Well, you should know from one deeply opinionated judge that all three of us, all of the judges, when we were going through, tasted your cake and we just all pointed at it and went, that one. And we kept tasting with an open mind and an open heart and an open mouth. But we also, periodically, we would taste another beautiful cake and we go, this is gorgeous, that one. Because, this is, for me, I don't know how you feel about this, food is yes or no. And then after that, I kind of want to know about it. I usually don't want to know about the no unless I'm responsible for producing a better one. But I want to know about the yes because benchmarks are our life. What got you to this cake? Where did it come from? How did you learn about this cake? How did you create it?
So I had found a similar recipe online for a olive oil cake. And I really like using fun flavors and pulling from my Iranian history. My dad is from there. So I love pistachio and rose. And then I love just using fun citrus. So yeah, I've been making this cake for about 2 years now. And so it's a real crowd pleaser, I guess so.
So, and how would you say, so if you've been making it for 2 years now, do you think this version that you brought to us was like the best one you've done, or was it just like one in the panoply of great cakes?
I guess it must have been the best one I've done. I honestly didn't watch you guys taste it because I was so nervous. I walked away and walked the farmer's market a bit. I had recipe tested it once before that week and given it to some friends. And this one definitely came together a lot better. I took a lot of time in between the layers. So I really spent the time making sure it came out right.
You know, pistachio is making a big move these days. It's one of those popular things, and it comes, you know, foods come in and out of fashion, but they stay there as a wonderful ingredient. Pistachio is beloved and has been very popular in California for many, many years, and also olive oil and olive oil cake. But putting them all together in that way is very special. Nobody's listening right now. How do you feel about Dubai chocolate? I have to ask.
It's too sweet for me.
Yeah. You know, I was at a wonderful food truck, and they had a Dubai chocolate milkshake at a food truck, and it really did taste like a mouthful of dirty pebbles. I was just so sad. It was just like, that's just not the best idea for any of those ingredients, right?
Yeah. I tried it once and was like, not for me.
Yeah, we don't want that at all. Exactly. Well, but actually, people love it. And, you know, people should eat whatever they want. What other kinds of things do you like to bake? Because that's quite a specialty. And Persian or Iranian foods are really quite resonant and delicious. And there are a lot of ingredients in those cuisines. And I say those because it's not just one that are really beloved, particularly here in California. I mean, it's pomegranate season, for goodness sakes. What are the other things you love to make or you love to bake that are from your tradition?
I don't bake much Persian food yet. I definitely want to. I grew up with my grandma in the house, so she would bake some really cool Persian desserts, one called Zalubia, which is this like honey, rose water, sort of like funnel cake, but palm-sized. But I do a lot of cakes and cookies, and I pull from Persian flavors and just like my travels. I spent some time in Asia, so I love making like ube cookies and black sesame Earl Grey is one of my favorites I've been doing lately. It's a growing passion.
Well, it's wonderful to have a grandmother that bakes in the house. My grandmother was a wonderful baker. My mother was not a great cook, and she warmed things nicely, but my grandmother was a great baker. I'm talking to Azita Lotfi, and she's the grand cake winner from the third annual. Go ahead, Melissa.
Healdsburg Bake Off.
All right, we're just going to make it very, very simple. And John and Melissa Bacay are here in the studio. Anderson Puckett, who won the sourdough division. I see T-shirts, you know what I mean? And jumping over hurdles. And I love that Anderson has been baking with his wife for many, many years. That makes me really happy. So, Azita, what do you do? What's your day job?
I moved from the East Coast to Healdsburg in February, but I still help my family a bit on real estate projects that they have, kind of doing like administrative work. But I think I might start taking baking a little more seriously.
I think we will take you seriously should you decide to do that in any public way. Where did you move from the East?
Right outside of Boston, a little town called Weston.
Wonderful. And did you grow up there?
I did grow up there.
And what did you grow up in the Boston area eating? Because Boston is known for a lot of things, a lot of really good hearty food, many of them in shells out of the ocean.
Yeah. My dad is a huge fisherman. It's one of his passions. And so I grew up eating a lot of Persian food and then stuff that he caught. So I was really lucky growing up.
Yeah, and he's got to be a little careful, but I think this is Black Cod Month. Your dad needs to get out there and catch some black cod, and you need to glaze it with some miso or, I don't know, pistachio. Ooh. Dubai chocolate. No, don't do that. that's a terrible idea. Don't do that. But what other categories of cooking and baking do you really love?
I think just like cakes, cookies. I haven't really gotten into like croissants and pastry like that yet. that's a whole nother thing to tackle. But I really love just playing with different flavors and testing out new recipes. So the people in my life definitely get a lot of my test bakes.
Yeah, you know, we say
asking me to slow down.
Yeah, in cheese making, we say that the pigs ate a lot of bad cheese to begin with, but I somehow don't imagine the goats eating too many old cakes. But if they did, they'd be good. The ingredients are wonderful, and you must be enjoying being here. We really are very happy that you've chosen our region to come to with your family, and congratulations on being the big cake winner again. It was no contest. It was, I mean, there were a lot of great things to taste, and we had another one that was so wonderful that we gave it a kind of a runner-up unofficially and then officially. But you really made something that was truly, truly delicious. It was interesting, but first it was delicious, and that's what we really love. Thank you for being with us, folks. We'll be right back here talking about sweet stuff and sometimes savory at the table. Talking with Sean and Melissa McKay, and they are here from Quail and Condor and Troubadour and the Healdsburg Bake Off. I was pleased to be a judge again last year and this year. It took me about a year to recover. A lot of sugar. My doctor says, you know, eat more fruit. But anyway, we've been talking to Anderson Puckett, and we just got off the phone with Azita Lotfi, who is the big cake winner. Anderson was the sourdough guy. And now on the phone is Ethan Peterson. Hey, Ethan, congratulations on winning the best kids stuff.
Thank you.
So what did you make? It was delicious.
I made the peanut butter kiss cookies.
And where did you get the recipe? Was it off the back of the chocolate bag or what?
My mom usually makes it when, like, we're having, like, a party, or we just want, like, or just she, like, makes it just for fun.
Well, I think that's a good reason, and it was fun, and it was delicious. Ethan, tell everybody how old you are and, you know, what college you're going to.
I'm 10 years old, and I want to go to Stanford.
All right. Okay. What grade are you in now?
I'm in fifth grade.
Good for you. And have you been baking a long time? I mean, because those were really good cookies. We were talking to the nice lady who won the cake category. But when we tasted your cookie, all three of the judges went, I think that's the winner. I mean, early on in the judging, obviously we tasted everything else and enjoyed them, but it was really delicious. How long have you been baking? I mean, you're 10. It can't be too long.
I started baking 2 years ago.
Wow. And in the kitchen on your own with mom, with grandparents, siblings, how does that work?
Sometimes with my mom and sometimes with my grandma.
Ah, really nice. I have a cousin, and when she was 9, actually, her grandmother passed away. And her grandmother, my great aunt, was really good at making all these cookies, all these Eastern European cookies. And we were all really sad that we would never have her cookies again. And then Julie Ann, my little cousin at 9, said, I know how to do it. And so she went into the kitchen with her mother's help and remade a half a dozen of the cookies that her she'd just been watching and helping her grandmother. How did you start baking? Did your grandmother invite you in and get you going? Or did you say, I want to bake?
Well, my mom and my grandma always, like, used to bake a lot of stuff, and I usually helped. So then, like, when I heard 2 years ago that there was, like, a baking competition, I wanted to, like, enter, and I just happened to win.
And you just happened to win. Do you think you ever want to go on TV and do some kind of a cooking competition?
Maybe.
Do you watch that stuff? Do you watch it on the Food Show or on Bravo or anything? Are you allowed to have a television? I mean, I don't even have a television, but I have a phone, so.
No.
All right. Well, and in your school, because some of our schools have gardens and some of our schools even have kind of little kitchens and whatnot, and some of the kids get to do that. Have you ever had that experience at school?
My school has a garden, but we kind of just take care of it, and we don't really pick stuff or make anything with it. Like, sometimes we, like, our teacher picks stuff, and she goes back to her house and makes it and then brings it the next time. So we try that, and then we make it another time, and we make it that time. For, like, just to enjoy, for her to enjoy.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Is it okay if I ask you what school you go to?
Yeah.
What school do you go to?
I go to Fitch Mountain Campus.
Nice.
In Healdsburg.
Got it. And you have a garden, and you have obviously a nice teacher, because not only do they go and take it home and bring it back, but you make things for them. I think, you know, at the Greenville School where I was helping for a long time, they have a raised bed that grows everything that goes in salsa. Then they have another raised bed that has everything that goes on top of a pizza. Well, not everything. They don't grow sausages, pepperoni. I always wanted them to do that. And they have another one that everything in that raised bed could make tea. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's cool.
Do you like gardening, Ethan?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Do you do any other kind of cooking besides the production of delicious cookies?
I hope my mom sometimes make, like, birthday cake and stuff, but not really, no.
All right. Well, you know, Sean's a great example of how guys also can be very successful cooks and occasionally bakers if they have to be. Sean is smiling. All right. Well, listen, Ethan, congratulations again. I hope you enter a different cookie next year, or maybe depending on what the category is, you know, bake something fun and keep gardening, keep cooking, and keep enjoying good food.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you again soon. Well, that was Ethan Peterson. He was the winner of the kids category, and the list of the category included anything they wanted to bake, or was it mostly cookies?
It was cookies and bars.
And cookies and bars. And the bar, oh my gosh, that bar was so delicious. It tasted like food. I don't know what was in it, but it really tasted like, it was less like a dessert and more like food. It was kind of, it was not a granola bar, really. It was creamy and it was wonderful. Do you remember, Sean? No, you were just...
It was all a blur.
It's all a blur.
Yeah, well, we blacked out.
Yeah, after all that sugar. There was one cookie that was a little soft and had kind of Korean spices on it.
Gochujang, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was so good and wonderful. But again, and they were all very pleasing, and I would want to eat almost all of them on a semi-irregular basis. But the peanut butter cookie that Ethan made was the one that just... knocked it out of the box. Is there any way you guys can get more kids involved? Because that was great. And, you know, adults talk to each other. Kids do, too. How do we get more kids involved?
I think we would start with, and there are a bunch of private schools, let alone, you know, Ethan and our kids go to the same Healdsburg Elementary. And so I think we would just start with the schools. I asked a couple of my mom friends in a group text to kind of spread it out, because last year we didn't get a ton.
Well, you know, Abby, because I've worked on the... MFK Fisher Emerging Writers Contest for the last 6 years. And part of what we did was we sent the outreach to a number of different schools. And now it's on their curricular schedule to have kids submit stuff, and they get, it's part of their grade. I mean, you get that going, and it really, really works. And you have a lot of wonderful people with gardens. I mean, there could be a category for baked goods that have something from your own garden.
Yeah.
I think that would be wonderful. All right, when we come back, we're probably going to talk more about things that are good to eat. I mean, that seems like a really good idea. Right back here at the table. Back at the Table, I'm here with Melissa and Sean McKay, and they are the owners of Quail and Condor and Troubadour. And Troubadour is daytime, nighttime. Sean, explain. I mean, you've been getting a lot of really wonderful attention this past year. Congratulations. You guys deserve it. It's great stuff. And Quail and Condor was named one of the 22, that's an odd number, best bakeries in America. The New York Times is very confused about these things. Although, I would rather 22, which means they kept looking until they felt like, these are the best ones and the rest of them we don't have to include, than being stuck with a construct like top 10, top 5. You know what I mean? I like that better. And Troubadour's gotten a lot of nice attention as well. Explain Troubadour.
So Troubadour currently houses our bread program as well, but it's kind of, you know, maybe the house that it's a house built on sourdough. I don't know if sourdough built it, but built on sourdough.
There you go.
The way the day flows, we have 9 a.m. we open. Well, the bakers show up at 4.
Yeah, that, exactly.
Bread gets baked, floors get swept. 9 a.m. we open, kind of as a boulangerie. So
yeah,
a few simple pastries, financier, cannelé, croissant, and coffee, and then loads of fresh bread. At about 9, we start making a few sandwiches. That leads to kind of piles of fresh sandwiches, like a Parisian sandwich counter. Just you point, you get, you go. Like, unfussy.
You point, you get, and you go. And sometimes you can sit in the little alleyway between the Troubadour and the next building if the weather is pleasant, or even if it's not that pleasant, because it's a little protected there. Or
yeah, you can stay. You don't have to go.
You can, right. There's a place to sit and inside it, or you can go to the park. I like to sit in my car and open the windows. What can I tell you? I have all my things there. And the sandwiches are truly wonderful. Talk about the different sandwiches, because sometimes they're very, very, sometimes they're a better version of a familiar something, and sometimes they're like, oh, that goes in a sandwich, right?
I think that's kind of exactly how I look at it categorically, of people want what they want,
right.
So you gotta, there's some familiar shapes you have to fill.
Yeah.
And I think we've really kind of refined this, like, California sandwich. So it kind of starts with the bread almost, you know, always.
Yeah.
So most of them, I mean, all of our breads are naturally leavened minus like challah on Fridays. But sourdough sandwich kind of no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's sliced hearty sourdough.
And so delicious. And it's got a chew and the crust has got a crunch and it's just, it's food. I mean, Marion Cunningham used to say it provides a pleasant chew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it's we were just talking to somebody about like a bread with preservatives in it versus, you know, one that you sit on your counter and, you know, you lose it after a few days.
Yeah.
But if it's just the same as it was 2 weeks from now, like, you should reevaluate.
Yeah, you've bought a Twinkie. My favorite of yours that I recall was had to do with roasted carrots and ricotta. You know, when you have a sandwich and the schmear is ricotta, fresh ricotta, instead of cream cheese or butter or mayonnaise or something, you know you're in the right place. I mean, I was so, there was, and I don't like carrots. I'm just not a carrot person. But it was caramelized, it was charred, and there were other things in it I can't remember because I was so taken by that.
Yeah, but I think, so that's bellwether ricotta.
Of course it is.
And that's really like a time and place kind of thing of living in Northern California and having all of this awesome bounty, that's where it can all kind of come together on a sandwich. So,
I mean, what I love is, you know, one of my other favorite places in Sonoma County is Della Fattoria. And they do very typical sandwiches, but so deliciously that you know why a ham and Swiss or a turkey sandwich is a popular thing. Because many years ago, when somebody really made it properly, this was good stuff. I mean, you obviously, you are a bit more creative than that. They do some very shockingly basic things wonderfully.
I just want to say that, like, I remember when we were first opening Troubadour and Sean was like putting sprinkles and dressing and spreads. And I'm like, whoa, you're putting like a lot on this sandwich. And he's like, the bread won't stop taking all the flavor. But like, you kind of have to, we make it so, like, not complicated, but we add so much because the bread just wants to be the star.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me that, like, you know, to this day, every time we develop a new flavor, it's like, okay, what's a sprinkle? What's a dressing? What's a seasoning? What's a spread?
And by the way, folks, when she talks about sprinkle, she's mostly talking about seasoning, not little sugar bits that are in bright color.
She loves sprinkles too, though.
I also very much love sprinkles.
All right, sprinkles are a good thing, absolutely. And Sean, you said the day flows. So we've gotten to the sandwiches, and then what happens?
Well, so sandwiches last till afternoon. We close up shop at 3, we sweep the floors. We move a bunch of things around. We polish the windows. And all the while, the kitchen is hard at work preparing kind of a full tasting menu for the evening. So our influence is kind of California French.
Yeah.
And I might do a little homage to somebody here and there, just like culinary heroes, that kind of thing. And all the way from maybe somebody that I respected even currently or, you know, 5 years ago.
Quickly give us some names.
Well, so currently, we have the homage to L'Arpège egg. So L'Arpège in Paris.
Yeah.
And Alain Passard.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that one's actually kind of classic at this point. It's been around 20 some years.
Yeah.
But all the way to Paul Bocuse, or I'll even take a Carême or an Escoffier thing that I've seen. And, you know, so I guess that's anti-modern. That's like the forefathers.
Actually, folks, anti-modern is the new modern. I mean, when things get challenging and complex, what do? We revert to what we know is good. And sometimes that's local farm food and sometimes French. We'll be right back here at the table. Back at the table, we're talking about the bake-off in Healdsburg that I got to be part of the judging for. That's quite a sentence you got there, Clark. Melissa, tell us about Katerina and her winning cookies.
Yeah, so Katerina Ravinius, she won with a pumpkin cheesecake cookie. So it was like a pumpkin cookie stuffed with like a cream cheese puck.
I like the idea that the cream cheese is on the inside, right? As opposed to on the outside where it often is, right? Leave the cookies, take the cannoli, right? Yeah. It was one of those. And I like the use of pumpkin. I was talking to a friend yesterday and we talked about how much we love pumpkin ravioli because something doughy with pumpkin is really, really good. But we also like it with burnt sage butter because, you know, Italian. Really quickly, Anderson, when you taste bread, anything in Sonoma County, because we have a lot of great ones, one or two that you've tasted that you think are great?
I do like Troubadours, for sure. And Redbird every once in a while.
Redbird. Yeah. All lists include Redbird. Sean, where are these two locations, Quail and Condor and Troubadour? Give us the addresses and the website.
So we're both in Healdsburg. Bakery currently at 149 Healdsburg Avenue. Website, quailandcondor.com.
For both of them. No, Troubadour.
Troubadour, 381 Healdsburg Avenue. And we're like 2 or 3 blocks from each other, so you can...
You're getting closer.
Yeah.
Right?
We'll be minus a half a block.
There you go.
So then Troubadour 381 Healdsburg Avenue, website troubadourhbg.com, and dinner reservations are on Resi. Quail, you just walk in, and Quail and Condor hours 8 to 3. And Troubadour 9 to 3.
And then Troubadour in the evening is?
We start at 5:30.
And goes, how many days?
So we're Thursday through Sunday.
All right.
And last seating, it all depends on the night.
Yeah, it's really amazing I love the fact that Healdsburg stays open later than St. Helena. I think St. Helena's closing right now, and this is Laymore. No, it's very sweet. But we have this whole history. I'm chauvinistic. I can't help it. I mean, I've been going to the Napa Valley since I was in my 20s, in the 70s. I love the Napa Valley in many, many ways. But Sonoma County really has wonderful bakers and cooks and winemakers and farmers and folks making sourdough. Anderson, are you going to enter next year?
I hope to.
All right. Well, you could add pepperoni and I wouldn't mind. No, I'm teasing. All right, listen, thank you all for doing this. It bringing the community together over good baking and good fellowship is a great thing to do. Doing it in a farmer's market in the parking lot is even better, although the farmer's market is going to be moving across the way. So we'll see the new location of the fourth annual Bake Off. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be here. I never remember what to say. We'll be here next time at the table.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You'd be in paradise and put up a fire.